discovered in 1801, until it was found to be so small, and it became known as one of a number of small asteroids orbiting in that region of the solar system. Until a few years ago, no asteroids were known to orbit much beyond the orbit of Jupiter. But in 1977, astronomers discovered the object Chiron in the space between Saturn and Uranus, a body about a tenth as large as Pluto. Since then, some people have wondered whether Pluto should be called a planet, or whether it and Chiron will turn out to be the largest of a whole new class of outer solar system asteroids. For January 22nd, that's star date. For a free sky calendar and star chart, send a legal-sized, self-addressed, stamped envelope to the University of Texas McDonald Observatory in Austin, Texas, zip 78712, and we'll get that in the mail to you right away. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
Hey, it's the voice of Long Island.
In color.
And in stereo.
I'm Mike Uhas. That's color spelled O-U-R, not O-R.
That's right. I'm Mike Uhas. I'm back on the radio.
I'm Eric Corley, and I'm still here.
Yeah. And this is WUSB.
In Stony Brook, New York.
Well,
I think we should. Yeah, turn the music down and we'll start.
Okay. Isn't it just typical that the phone starts ringing just as we start speaking?
Well, ignore it. Just go on. Oh, you are on, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi.
Hi, Eric.
How was your week, Mike?
Better.
I would imagine it is.
Better than the last couple of weeks.
Yes, you look a lot better since I wasn't seeing you before, and now I see you.
How do you know what I looked like before?
I imagine you didn't look as well as you do now.
Well, I feel swell. I've, been out of commission for a while, and it's really great to be back.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
What do you got there? You got cherry stuff?
Mm.
It's red.
Cherry soda. But look at the head on that. That's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Let's get the goodie bag out here. Oh!
Yeah, I got all sorts of neat things.
Oh, we got dip.
Let's open up the dip.
Enchilada dip.
Enchilada.
Oh, boy. That's good stuff. Well,
you got to do it in the microphone.
My week was pretty good, actually, too. Hold on a second. Why don't you talk about your week while I'm opening this?
Well, it was my first week back to work, back to the radio station, and in 3 weeks. And it's really just great to be back.
Well, that's disgusting.
Well,
you should get this dip in a can like this. All kinds of weird things happen to it in there.
What's wrong?
It's got some sort of, like someone stuck their finger in it.
Well,
look at that.
Well, that's because it was sitting in the bag funny.
Oh, okay.
Hey, we have some interesting things here now. I've got a surprise for you.
What's that?
And you're going to love it. I'm going to start.
You told me about the surprise last week. And
I didn't
waiting all week for it.
I didn't tell you what it was, though.
I thought that was someone screaming in the studio.
I've had this record for about a month, waiting to play on the air, on the Voice of Long Island.
This is the first time this year you've been up. What? Folk music of Albania?
You got it.
How in the world did you find that? My goodness.
Now, careful, there's something else inside there that don't fall out.
You have two sides, one for North Albania and one for South Albania.
That's right.
And they have Yugoslavia right next to it on the map.
Right, Yugoslavia.
That's what they call it over
there.
That's right, yeah. Albania. I can't believe this, Mike. I'm very impressed. It looks like an import.
It is an import.
Well, that's really amazing.
Yeah.
That is really amazing. Come on, you gotta tell me where you found this.
I found it in a catalog.
In a catalog?
Mm-hmm.
And you ordered it specially?
Especially for the show tonight.
What record company is this?
Topic of London.
Of London.
Yeah.
What's the name of the tune we're hearing now?
That's the first... Well, it's over now.
Oh, well.
It's the first song on...
Sure sounded good.
Yeah. First song on Saturn.
Oh, this is something we can dance to.
He's probably playing a lute.
Valley E. Leshez, played by Mark Pashku. He's playing the Sifteli. And Leger is playing Region 5, whatever that means. Oh, the song comes from Region 5, which is also called Leger.
5 on the map.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I got gypped because it says that there's a descriptive lyric booklet and stuff in there. But there really isn't.
A booklet of notes on the items on this record will be found inside the sleeve. Maybe you have to actually slit the sleeve open like that.
No, I have something else, though, that was inside the sleeve.
Oh, a 45.
Yeah.
Inside a hit single?
Yep. That I've been promising for a couple of weeks. Now, don't look at it.
Okay.
It's going to be a surprise to you, too. Of course, you're going to hear it queuing up in your headphones.
I don't know what that was.
You know what it was?
No, I don't.
You don't recognize it already? But that's something interesting, too. How about if I just fade out this...
We'll fade out the Albanian music, and we'll go back to it. And we'll play it without our voices on top of it.
But in the meantime, I want you to hear this.
Okay.
This is something I've been waiting for a while as well.
That was the flip side of the Jingle Bell signal.
That's right.
By the Singing Dog.
That's right.
That's really amazing. I must say, you can tell it's they're using the same bark over and over again.
Uh-huh.
Much easier on this than you can on Jingle Bells.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's that screeching bark. I hadn't heard that.
Yapping bark I'm not familiar with.
I had this thing I've had it, I guess, at least for about 15 years.
Yeah.
And probably hadn't listened to it in 14 of those years. And it's good to hear it again, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how many times that song's been played on the radio.
I wonder. it could be a first for this station.
I think so. I mean, we have the other one, but we don't have the flip side for some strange reason.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we're listening to some Albanian music in the
background. I'm really amazed that we got a record about Albania. Boy.
And speaking in a similar vein to Albania, you got yourself a Fisher's Island telephone book this week.
Well, I got a hold of one. Yes.
It's not really yours?
It's not really mine. It's on loan.
Oh.
Yes, we had an investigator get us a copy.
Well, thanks very much to that investigator.
Yeah.
But,
took a lot of investigating. Not all of it was fruitful.
It's not a freestanding telephone book.
No, it isn't.
It's part of the New London, Groton, and Waterford Book of Names from Southern New England Telephone.
Called SNET, yes.
SNET.
SNET. But there is, I'll have you know, a Fisher's Island phone book. I tried to get it from Fisher's Island themselves, but
they said they didn't print enough.
The chief of the phone company said they ran out this year. There wasn't enough to go around, so they couldn't send me one from Long Island.
Yeah.
But I figure, look, we can go out to Fisher's Island someday, take a USB investigative crew, and just sort of snatch one from someone's house as we, you know, wander through.
Mm-hmm. That's an idea.
That'd be good.
But then again, they may call the Fisher's Island Police Department. And, like, 788-7760, which is Constable Paging.
Constable Paging, huh?
Yeah.
All of the numbers over there have the same exchange.
Yes.
Which is 788.
And not only that, but the first number of the rest of the number is 7.
On all of them.
On all of them.
It really has quite an impression when you look at a phone book and all of the numbers are the same going down.
The first four digits. Well, there are a couple of 203 numbers in here.
Well, that's, Connecticut exchanges for some people. In fact, there's even a toll-free number for somebody.
Yeah, that's true, too. I think that's the Air National Guard or something like
that. But the whole phone book is all of 3 pages long. Is that correct?
Not even that much.
Not even that much.
Yeah, it's about 2.5 pages long.
Now, Fisher's Island is a strange place. It's part of New York. It's in the 516 area code. But they've got a Connecticut zip code, and you can only get there by going to Connecticut first and then going over to Fisher's Island by ferry.
That's right. Yeah, and if I had gone up to Rhode Island today like a lot of people wanted me to do, I probably would have seen Fisher's Island, but I didn't go.
I've never seen it.
Oh, no?
No.
Yeah, I've seen it once.
I've thought about it so
much.
Last
time I went up to Rhode Island, in fact.
I've thought about it so much.
Oh, yes?
I've never seen Albania either, for that matter, except on a map. But, yes, I have thought about Fisher's Island and what it's like to be there, especially in the winter. Because in the summertime,
take a look at this.
Have some tourists, not that many, but you do have a lot more.
This is a case in point.
Okay.
Police Department. State Police, May through October.
Right.
Uh-huh. That says something there. I mean, they're not even there on Election Day.
No.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of a democracy is this?
Well, you mean there's only one number for the... Only May through October? After that, you can't get the police?
Well, there's the police department, and they list all the constables and constable paging as well.
Now, there are also some other very interesting listings, like if you want a doctor.
Yes, just look up doctor.
It just says doctor and nothing else.
And it lists the number for doctor. Yes.
Don't give that number.
Oh,
people
will
be calling the doctor on Fisher's Island.
Sorry.
The only doctor there is. Quit. You don't want him to quit, do
there's,
you?
There's dentist emergency.
Yes.
And there's airport.
Airport.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. There is an airport in Fisher's Island. Remember there was a crash there about a year or two ago?
Yeah, that's right. I remember seeing something down the bottom of the corner of the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you hear about Fisher's Island about as often as you hear about Albania.
That's true. Well, lately Albania has been in the news a lot more. In fact...
really because it borders Yugoslavia, I guess.
Well, actually, right in my bag, I believe,
I have an article there. He has a bowling bag, and he keeps all of his papers in it.
Yes, but I hadn't planned on bringing this in.
That's a pretty interesting little bag. Actually, it's not really a bowling ball bag. It's the case for an old typewriter, I believe, or an adding machine or something like that. But it's a...
bowling bag ball. I mean, it's a bowling ball bag.
But he keeps all of his papers in it. What? Well, I don't know. He wears Salvation Army coats, too, so...
I don't know where it is. I had this magazine, and I showed it to Frank, and I don't know where it is now. Did you see it?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
There's a lot of good numbers in here, though.
There was an article in this week's Newsweek.
Electric Corporation. Oh, you want the Newsweek? It's right here.
Oh, well, that's what I was looking for.
It was my bookmark for the Fisher's Island directory, because it's right smack in the middle of the New London, Groton, Waterford Book of Names.
Just give me my Newsweek. Thank you.
Well, why didn't you tell me you wanted a Newsweek? I could have given it to you. Right?
How many magazines did I bring in? Now, International Affairs... I'm not quite certain it's in this week's. It might have been in last week's.
Once in Ships, Will?
And if it was in last week's, then, of course, we're out of luck.
We have enchilada dip.
But there's a great article on just all the crazy things that are happening over there. You know, revolutions and people assassinating themselves and all kinds of things like that. Now,
people assassinating themselves? Is that what I heard you say?
All kinds of things.
I'm awake.
All kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it in here. I guess that was last week. So if I had known we were going to be talking about Albania, I most certainly would have brought it in.
Sure.
I really regret this.
I like the listing for Mr.
What does it say?
M-R. See Mr.
M-I-S-T-E-R.
Yeah.
And what's under M-I-S-T-E-R?
There is nothing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And there's no Mrs., is there?
No. No, not at all.
Nope, I definitely have the wrong issue here.
Oh, well.
Just get rid of this. Who needs it anyway?
You paid $1 for that magazine. You're throwing it all away.
Oh, no. I get it subscribed to.
Oh, so then you only pay 38.68 cents per issue.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard getting that out when the guy comes around with it.
Hmm. Yeah. Is that can of spray disinfectant here for me? Don't spray it. Now, don't spray it.
Why shouldn't I spray it?
Because we got the enchilada dip.
Oh, okay. I won't spray this then. I'll spray it over here.
In any event.
That little corner of the room is now fresh.
For now.
Oh, my God. It's spreading. What a horrible smell.
Better cover up the enchilada dip.
Yeah, I don't like that too much.
It's different, you know?
It sure is.
I think instead of getting the nacho cheese flavor chips, we should have gotten regular flavor. And it probably would have gone a little better.
Yeah. Well, we can still run out of
it. Oh, it tastes like disinfectant.
How would you know what disinfectant tastes like?
I can smell it. It's coming over. In any event, I think we should get...
Wait a minute. I want to tell you something about this disinfectant you're inhaling.
About the Lysol? Oh!
Can't say that. Prevents mold and mildew. Kills influenza virus and dangerous staph and strep germs on environmental surfaces. You are an environmental surface.
Yes, and so
whatever sickness is left in you is now being killed.
And me as well. So is the enchilada dip as being an environmental surface.
It's fast, exclamation point. Mm-hmm. Easy, another exclamation point, and effective.
That's good for assassinating yourself, too.
Yes. But do not use near fire or flame.
Do you know why?
And that says New York City Fire Department. Why does it say New York City Fire Department?
I always used to do this. I used to get a spray can, an aerosol can, and get a match or something.
You didn't.
Yeah, and hold the can of spray paint or whatever it is, and spray it on the match, and it comes out like a blowtorch. It's really fun. You should try it sometime.
Yeah, it also can explode in your hands.
Yeah, only if the fire travels up the stream and like goes down the nozzle.
In which case you have about a millisecond
to
move.
Too. Yeah, and then you throw it like a grenade. Hit the dirt!
Yeah. This meets the latest rigid standards for hospital-type aerosol disinfectants, I'll have you know.
Okay.
And you can use it. You can spray as directed to eliminate most germs from...
Oh, my God, you got the album covering the enchilada dip.
Uh-oh. From bathroom basins, toilet seats, telephones, empty hampers, full hampers, garbage and waste receptacles, animal areas, toys, light switches... The newsroom, door handles, bed springs, air ducts, all hard-to-reach places, and the union cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
That's... Well, we'll bring up this Albanian music and so we can appreciate it.
And we'll be back with more stimulating dirt a little bit later.
Should we give out the complaint hotline?
Yes, 246-7901.
Area code
516. Yes.
Soto Yola, Mazan rugame shumite. Pe castraterin camite, pe castraterin camite. Mali hotic pozi mono, mali hotic. Pod goi poker se topin, pod goi poker se topin. Ker se topi jele puška, ker se topi jele puška. Polna vinto patne muška, polna vinto patne muška. Ne per male, ne per fuscia, ne per male, ne per fuscia. Ne per male fuscia vede, ne per male fuscia vede.
Oh, hi. That was Albanian music from Albania, I guess North Albania.
Folk music from Albania.
Thank you very much.
It's a collection of...
That was Melody Baratori, a pastoral melody played by Jean Shahini. Actually, it's not Jean, it's G-J-O-N, that's how you say that. He was playing some weird instrument I can't pronounce. The sleeve design, which you can't see, shows the Siftelli lute and the Zumar double clarinet being played. That's it right here. There are descriptions of these instruments in the enclosed booklet. The Siftelli in the notes on side 1, band 3, and the Zumar in the note on side 1, band 9. Just in case you wanted to know that.
Yes.
Albanian music, only on USB, I think.
It's an import record from Topic Records of London. It's number 154, if you want to go out and get your own copy.
Really strange.
You can find it, a couple of mail-order record distributors distribute it, and the price is outrageous.
If anyone else out there has info in Albania, we sort of collect it here at the Voice of Long Island.
What's the capital? Do you know?
Yeah, Tirana is the capital, not Tehran as in Iran. Tirana, T-I-R-A-N-A. Or if you're in Albania, you call it Terrain, I think. T-I-R-A-N-E, with two little dots on top of it.
On top of the N's?
Of the E.
Of the E.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I believe that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, if you're in other countries, you pronounce it differently. But for us, Tirana is the capital of Albania.
I see.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know what goes on in there. No Americans are allowed in, but...
I wonder if they let falling spaceships in.
Now, that's interesting. If it lands in Albania... You see, Albania is hostile to all the superpowers. They're hostile to the Soviet Union and just as much so to the United States. They were friendly with China up until a few years ago, and then they had a big fight with them, and now they're not very, very happy either with them.
Uh-huh.
So they're all by themselves.
Hmm, just like a miniature Sweden.
Yeah, well, a lot worse than that because they are very hostile towards everybody.
Uh-huh.
But they're a lot of fun.
Hmm.
If the satellite lands on them, they'll...
I wonder if anybody over there took out insurance, like the guy over in...
It's possible they may not even know about it. They're totally cut off.
That's true. Didn't we once try calling Albania?
Yeah. We can try again if you want. Go ahead, try. You'll see what happens.
Who do we have to talk to?
Just contact a local operator and say, I want to make a call to Albania. First of all, she probably won't even know where Albania is.
That's true.
And then she'll contact the international operator, and the international operator will have no record of such a country existing. Okay, you may need this.
Yeah.
I wish you luck, Mike.
Thanks.
Gonna need a double dose. Did that work?
I guess not.
Is that line even on?
I don't know.
What? Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's on. Just turn this thing down for a minute.
Okay. It's a heck of a lot easier to reach Fisher's Island than it is to reach Albania, that's for sure. Would you like one of these, Brian? Sure. Take the bag.
Phone's key is ring. Nobody home.
Hi, Mr. Gary, may I help you?
Yes, operator. We'd like to make a call to Albania.
Surely. Let me see if I can dial that directly for you. One moment.
Okay. I don't know the number.
I don't have it. Sorry, I'll hop during another operator and even check my routing. All right, we can always give you a directory there and, you know, to get the number first then, sir.
Yes, if we could do that.
Surely. Let me try the operator first. One moment.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome, sir. May I help you? Yes, overseas routing, please, for Albania.
We've got a friendly operator. It's a rarity.
Yeah, that's true. Not really.
She may try to get something for us.
I've gotten friendly operators before.
But this is a really friendly operator. She's going to go out of her way to prove herself to us. Mark
it's
my words.
Albania? Yes, Albania.
That's right. Just like the capital of New York.
Almost.
I have a country. What do you have? I don't have a country, Albania. Was it renamed or is it part of another...
Well, it's right next to Yugoslavia
and Greece.
Yeah, please. Well, let me get into the supervisor. Since I don't have it listed here, there's something I can put it up.
I don't think Yugoslavia would take it.
It's not held by Russia, is it?
Is it,
you know, anything like United Republic of Albania or something like that, or Soviet Republic? Or?
They're separate from everybody. They hate all their neighbors. They're fiercely independent.
Not United. Let me connect you with...
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Sure, Albania. You're welcome, sir.
They're a fiercely independent nation.
Service assistant, this is
Wareman. Yes, good evening. We need overseas routing for Albania.
There is no telephone service to Albania.
Oh, that's the reason. Thank you very
You're
much.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Good gosh.
Goodness.
How could a whole country...
Terrible.
How could a whole country not have telephone service?
I thought it was only Vietnam we don't have service to, but my gosh. We should have, you know, had that listed as such. Sorry.
Well, that's really a striking phenomenon, then. But, operator, we thank you very much for your help, anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry I couldn't help you, sir.
That's, you did help us.
Oh, okay.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
Happy holiday, too.
It must be an Albanian holiday, right?
It's very hard to get through, as you can see.
Yeah.
I don't know how we can do this in the future.
Bye, Will.
Bye, Will.
Are you going home?
Yeah.
You go? Are you going off?
Drive safe.
Taking off now, or what?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's time you thought about it, isn't it?
Why is he waving goodbye, then? Well, this is the Voice of Long Island. I'm Mike Uhas.
And I'm Eric Corley over
about,
here.
Half past 12.
Seriously, folks, though, if you do have information on either Albania or Fisher's Island, we need it. We need it bad.
Well, do we really need information on Fisher's Island?
Anything else we don't know already. If you have info that we don't know, give us a call. But if it's something that we already do know and haven't told you yet, don't call us.
Just forget it, because chances are we already know it anyway.
Right.
But even if we don't know, give us a call, because the number here is...
516. Area code 516.
246-7901.
And also, you might have some other strange, exotic, mysterious places or strange, exotic, mysterious people that you know of. But we should know too.
Several in this studio, in the broadcasting station right now.
Right now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty interesting.
Quite a few in the broadcasting station.
Well, they're sort of queuing up outside, isn't it?
Hmm.
That's something.
Queue is such a great word, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so, too.
Q-U-E-U-E? Is that how you spell it?
Q-U-E-U. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You know what else is a good word?
That sounds like a Spanish word, like K?
Mnemonics.
Yes.
I love that word.
M-N-E, something like that?
Hold on.
Or is it
M-N-E?
M-O-N-I-C-S.
Right. Some people think there is a U in there somewhere, like M-N-E-U, but they're wrong, because I looked it up in a dictionary, and there's no U there.
No U in the
mind. No U at all.
Yeah.
Ha.
Yes. Well, anyway, we have some more music here and stuff for you here on The Voice
of Long Island.
And we will
not
be back.
Not Fisher's Island, not Albania, Long Island.
The longest island in New York.
Is that true?
I think so. Don't you think?
Isn't Manhattan longer? No, I guess not. I'm sorry.
Nothing like a little Pink Floyd music underneath us.
Yes, from the dark side of the moon.
Yes. As long as we don't talk over the instrumental part of the song, I think people won't complain too much. But anyway, we were talking about satellites before, and, well, this is not the first time a satellite has fallen out of the sky. Well, I mean, that's usually where they fall out of, but it's happened...
A satellite plunge.
It's happened twice already.
Yeah.
First time with Skylab, and also...
There was a Russian satellite up in Canada someplace, too, right?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, it landed in Canada or something.
Spilling radioactive stuff all over the place.
Yeah, small debris and things like that. So, it could happen again.
Yeah.
It could land in Canada again.
It could land in the water, too.
Now, I don't believe all these people who tell you, who say that the chances of this satellite hitting you are very small, because the chances are the same for everybody in the world. So the chances of a satellite hitting you are just as good as anybody else. So there.
Yeah, but they're pretty small.
Yeah, they're pretty small, but still, someone's probably going to be hit, right? No, actually, that's not true.
No.
It could land in the water and then just upset some fishes.
That's true, and it could land on a boat out in the water, too.
Yes.
Can you imagine if it landed on a Navy frigate?
If people have predictions as to where it will land, give us a call, 246-7901.
And we won't do anything about it.
Thank you.
That's interesting. Somebody
somebody called up and said that if this satellite crashes on Monday, it'll be 5 years to the day
that the last one crashed.
Which was that?
The Soviet Union one that landed in somewhere in the boondocks of Canada.
Right.
Now, that is...
Well, when did Skylab crash?
Skylab crashed before that, a while back. About,
was it?
I think 7 years ago. Maybe as little as six.
Mm.
I think. But that landed in the boondocks of Australia.
Yeah, you remember that one?
Yeah, that was something.
What? Remember what they... people out in Lake Panamoka, what they did was they made up some kind of official-looking satellite parts, and they had them floating in the lake when it was supposed to crash.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
But they expect us to land Sunday or Monday. So if it does land on Monday, it would make you think like it's some kind of a...
simple twist of fate.
Well, you know how things in outer space occur with alarming regularity? Halley's Comet.
Halley's Comet.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Whoops. You were saying, Mike?
Something about the satellite.
The alarming irregularity of it all.
Right, yeah.
It's and almost as if it's a higher fate or, you know, something else is in charge of this.
Hmm,
not the Russians, not the United States, not, you know...
Somebody who lives on Pluto.
Possibly.
The eighth planet.
Is that all the planets? No, wait, that's the ninth planet.
It used to be the ninth planet, but it changed, didn't it? Somebody said it was changed.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. I believe Neptune goes past the orbit of Pluto at some point, and Pluto is actually a little bit closer to the sun than Neptune is.
Right.
But it's not really the eighth planet. So
but we're about think three about stones from the sun or something like that.
Yeah, third stone from the sun.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. Well, space.
Is the place.
It is.
Yeah.
There's a good moon out tonight. I think it might have set, but it was pretty interesting to watch.
I don't know.
It's exactly half of a moon.
Yeah, it's just half.
I like looking at the moon.
Especially when it's half like that.
Yeah, I like looking at the moon when it's full. I like looking at the moon when it's new, too.
What are you looking at?
Well, it's there. You just have to know where to look.
I like it when it's just
a teeny
sliver.
That, too.
Could you hand me my cherry soda?
Have you ever seen
Thank you.
A teeny tiny sliver late at night?
Yeah.
That's wrong. You can never see a little tiny sliver late at night.
Well, it depends on how it's all.
I just played a cruel trick on you because I used my knowledge of astronomy to make you seem like a bumbling fool. But the fact is,
it's relative.
I'll tell you this.
9 o'clock to me is late at night.
Yeah. Okay, but in the middle of the night, there is no way to see a sliver of a moon
because it already sets.
because it's right next to the sun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We haven't mentioned anything about the what's happening on the 19th of February, have we?
The 19th of February. Oh, our USB benefit concert.
Right.
Why don't we talk about it?
Okay. Do we have a few minutes here? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
the vocals here for a little while.
It's going to be featuring George Winston, who plays solo acoustic piano, and it'll be downstairs in the Union Auditorium. It will be on the 19th of February, 1983, in the year of the dog. This is the year of the dog, right?
Well, it's the year of the boar somewhere.
Oh, that's it. The year of the boar. Last year was the year of the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The year of the boar.
Yeah.
So tune to your favorite radio station and we'll bore you to death.
All that boring stuff, yes. But it will be featuring George Winston, and we'll have details coming within the next week or two, coming your way. So stay tuned.
Right here to USB. And... that has to be kind of specific. Call us up and leave a prediction, and we will...
next week, read over the predictions and see how close you came.
We will send an album to anyone who guesses the country right. And if you are personally affected by the satellite, like if you're killed by it or something, we'll
send you two albums.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I announced that 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you heard it, but...
no, I didn't. That was the week I was really, really sick.
Oh.
Remember you called me up and everybody...
yeah, you sounded terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, you sounded terrible.
Yeah.
It's 12 minutes to 1 o'clock.
I had really a lot of fun with that nurse that came by last
week. Yeah, what happened? Did you pay her?
No. The station picked up the tab.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Picked up Edna. I only had her for about 3 days, 2 days or something like that. But it was good. She helped out with the cooking and stuff. Changed the sheets and all.
Was she a good cook?
She was okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, it must have gotten you right on the right track to getting better.
Yeah, well...
because you had to get better or else you would have to have her around for a while.
Yeah, and that was the ultimatum. And so I got better.
Pretty fast.
Pretty damn quick, yeah.
I believe the next day you were walking around.
That's right. Had to get out of the house.
Well... oh, the vocals, we can talk over this.
Yeah, sure.
Let's finish with these potato chips here.
No, there's plenty left. Well, you haven't had any of these yet.
No. Yeah, I don't like this dip at all. I think it's terrible. I think it's terrible. I really do. I just want to say that.
Then why did you just take a big hunk of it?
Because I wanted to say it with meaning in my voice.
To reinforce your...
horrible stuff.
Uh-huh. Well, it was either that or bean.
I'm glad it wasn't the latter.
Yeah.
But I'm not too happy about this either.
If you have anything you have to say or want to say, a prediction of where the satellite might land, give us a call at 516-246-7901.
On the voice of Long Island.
Long Island, yeah.
Yes.
The biggest island in the state.
And the most powerful radio station on campus.
And even on the block.
Now, I have a song here that I'm sure the scientists would love to say came true. About this satellite. A few weeks ago, before it fell totally out of orbit, they were trying to sort of pull it up, pull it up out of this falling orbit. And they didn't do that, unfortunately. It's falling down. But they would have liked to have said that they pulled it up.
Yeah.
So that's what this song is dedicated to.
Good. On the voice
of Long Island. And I got pulled
Bye-bye. lakita nyutina lekuli nyakura jamina ta dyavauti guli sanjanina jhanke thaini mwai kantha lai basa yora shirir khai re kanchi tatai baga aina basa mwai rakwe ti mwai re randai chui kai ne ala yomale randai chui gata di mata Yuri Suri Pari Kanji, Pokai Deli Yantu, Pokarako Bodarama, Jivanani Sutu, Kana Abe Kana Baba, Jali Pepo Jutu, Muti Mase Lani Sutu, Pasida Peputu, Saliban Samatiko, Hare Rama Silame Pari Sutu. Yeramiroe Parima Kalo Chaka Samami.
One night, the White House telephone rang very, very late. The caller said, I'm the Secretary of State. I must talk to the President, for he should know that the Cubans have invaded Guantanamo. The White House operator said, I cannot put you through. For Mr. Secretary, it's a quarter past two. You'll have to leave your message with someone else. I got those orders from the President himself. We can't disturb the president for every little thing. He's sleeping upstairs in the family wing. Can't wake him every time we hear the telephone ring. We won't wake the president up. The telephone rang in the middle of the day. It was Casey. He was calling from the CIA. He said, I called to tell the president a Russian spy is in the White House kitchen baking apple pie. But the White House operator said the president was tired. If I were to connect you, it would likely get me fired. He's taking his siesta now, and I've been told that if you were to call, I should put you on hold. We can't disturb the president for every little thing. He's sleeping upstairs in the family wing. Can't wake him every time we hear the telephone ring. We won't wake the president up. Now the Secret Service called just a little after dark. They said a UFO has landed at Lafayette Park. Some little green monsters came running out the door. They were wearing Krypton t-shirts and that's all they wore. Some of them were talking to a parking meter. We can hear them screaming, I take us for your leader. But the White House operator said, you've called too late. Please call back in the morning at 8:30. We can't disturb the president for every little thing. He's sleeping upstairs in the family wing. Can't wake him every time we hear the telephone ring. We won't wake the president up. One day a call came from the Secretary of Defense. He said we have intelligence that doesn't make much sense. I have to tell the president that we've just found an unknown submarine in Long Island Sound. An unmarked aircraft carrier is anchored off Cape May, and several mystery ships have entered Chesapeake Bay. I have to tell the president we may be in a scrap, but the operator said right now he's taking his nap. We can't disturb the president for every little thing. He's sleeping upstairs in the family wing. Can't wake him every time we hear the telephone ring. We won't wake the president up. Now out on the horizon you can see a lot of ships, and on the radar screen there are a lot of little blips. The red telephone is ringing long and loud, and over Jersey City there's a mushroom cloud. A saboteur has sawed the wings off Air Force One, and the chiefs of staff are meeting in the Pentagon. The president will tell them what action they should take, and they know they'll get the word as soon as he's awake. But we can't disturb the president for every little thing. He's sleeping upstairs in the family wing. Can't wake him every time we hear the telephone ring. We won't wake the president. We shouldn't wake the president. We mustn't wake the president. We can't wake the president. Don't wake the president up.
When I first came to Brookhaven Town,
way, hey, 90.1,
there was no good music to be heard around.
Way, hey, 90.1.
Then one day I turned on the dial.
Way, hey, 90.1.
There I found music to make me smile.
Way, hey, 90.1.
I waited for a legal ID.
Way, hey, 90.1.
The DJ said WUSB.
Way, hey, 90.1.
They start each day with the rising sun.
Way, hey, 90.1.
Don't ever finish till after day is done.
Way, hey, 90.1.
So if you want good music to hear.
Way, hey, 90.1.
There's a station in Stony Brook you ought to hear.
Way, hey, 90.1.
So if you like the sounds, do take a look.
Way, hey, 90.1.
At WUSB Stony Brook.
Hey, 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 hey.
We're back again, and we have a special guest.
Hello.
With us now is Mr. Charles DeBongo. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And where are you from?
Well, I'm from Walla Walla, Washington, Eric.
Oh. You know, I've always wanted to meet somebody who came from there.
Well, now you have.
Yes. Well, you are in charge of a brand new sports league that I don't think too many people have heard of. Now, I know I never heard about it until today.
That's precisely why I came to you folks. I know you're always willing to give the underdog a chance to... Well, here I am.
Yeah, well, you're the president and founding father of the North American Basketball Association, a fledgling organization.
That's right. Well, the concept first came into my head at a cocktail party in early May, and then in mid-July I suddenly remembered it.
Oh.
And at that point I made a few phone calls, arranged a couple of deals, and before I knew it, I had a brand new professional basketball league.
Well, things seem to have moved pretty fast for you, but how come nobody's heard of your organization?
Well, mainly because my secretary's a dumb clod and she forgets to put stamps on the press releases.
Oh.
Well, that set us back quite a bit. Other than that, though, we've received quite a bit of flack from sports statisticians who don't really like the prospect of having to keep records for all these new teams.
And how many teams are in the NABA?
Well, we have 56 franchises at last count, Eric.
That's pretty darn good for a new organization. How did you manage to get so many together?
Well, you see, there are a lot of untapped markets that we happen to stumble across.
Oh?
Yeah, places like Abilene, Texas, San Joaquin, California, Chester, Pennsylvania, a lot of good talent in Chester, Macon, Georgia. And Orono, Maine, they just had great interest in basketball, but there just wasn't any team they could support. Now, through the miracle of telephones and interstate buses, that need is being served.
Oh, that's real gratifying to hear. Now, I know one of the reasons the other big leagues passed up the towns you mentioned is because there really isn't any place large enough for the teams to play in.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true at all, Eric. I'm afraid the NBA has been feeding you all sorts of biased propaganda. There's always a place for a major basketball team. In fact, we saved a heck of a lot of money by passing up towns with big coliseums.
Oh?
Yeah. Our Sloatsburg, New York team plays in the high school gym. We had 45 people down there the other night.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah. Now, the team in Gainesville, Florida plays on the lawn of their city hall, although I understand their mayor wants them to play in the street. And our Lubbock team, Lubbock, Texas. Home of Buddy Holly.
Oh.
Yes. Manages quite well inside the garage of their second-string center.
I see. Well, maybe you'd like to tell the folks about the way the season operates.
Oh, I'd be glad to. We're kind of unique in that. Now, the regular season consists of a total of four games.
40?
No, four.
Four?
Yes.
You only play four games in the entire season?
Well, let me finish. Now, these four games determine the standing of the teams in the playoffs, which run from November to the end of August, which is right when our preseason games begin.
So the vast majority of your season consists of playoff games, is that right?
That's absolutely correct, Eric. And we have a rather unique system, too.
And what's that?
Well, we have 16 divisions, Northeast, Midwest, Southern Plains, and so on.
Yeah.
Well, in England, they have four divisions, that is, in soccer, but they call it football. Do you follow?
I think I do.
And at the end of their season, the bottom few teams of each division get put into a different division.
Uh-huh.
What we do is kind of similar. We take the bottom team of each division and ship it to another division on the other side of the country. Now, for instance, if Santa Barbara doesn't play good basketball, they could very well find themselves playing in Dover, Delaware next season.
Hmm.
And the only way they can get back to Santa Barbara is if they finish in the top third of their new division.
So a team could find itself away from home for an entire year.
That's right. And we don't have to pay for living expenses. So it's to everybody's advantage to play good.
One more question I'd like to ask you.
Sure.
Mr. DeBongo.
Yeah. You can call me Charles.
Thank you.
You can really call me Charlie. I've known you for 5 minutes.
Well, Charlie, where did you get enough talent to fill so many basketball teams out of the clear blue sky?
Well, there's a little secret to that, Eric. Start young.
Uh-huh.
The average age of our players is 9.7 years old.
You mean your teams consist of little kids who aren't even 10 years old yet?
Mm.
And you actually threaten to take them away from their hometowns if they don't perform up to par? Little kids?
Well, look at it. Think of it this way, Eric.
They're playing for an entire year.
Right now, we're not all that well known, but in about another 10 years, all these kids will be bigger and they'll be playing better, too.
What makes you think they'll still be with your league?
Oh, they have to. They've all signed lifetime contracts.
We've been talking with Charles DeBongo, founder of the New North American Basketball Association, and perhaps a leader of the closest thing to child slavery we'll ever see in this generation.
Now, hold on a minute.
I'm going to report you to every agency I know of. What is this?
You can tell the nation about that. Tell them sons of creation has come. Tell them that the comforter has come. Really bring joy to your soul. Really bring joy to your soul. You can tell your mama about this. You can tell your papa about that. Tell them sons of creation has come. Tell them that the chosen one has come. Really bring joy to your soul. Really bring joy to your soul. Sing low, sing chariot. Jump in the forces, carry me, oh my God. Sing low, sing chariot. Jump in the forces, carry me. I feel good.
The yodeling.
That'll keep Alan the Shellman happy.
Yeah. Sons of Creation.
Yow.
With Revival.
Oh.
Good stuff on USB. The Voice.
Oh.
Long Island. 19 minutes after 1 o'clock. 3 degrees.
41 minutes before 2.
3 degrees below the big circle, and that's a total of 27 on the F scale.
Now, what does that mean in English?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Nothing of interest, anyway.
Yeah.
Now, prior to all that, before the gentleman from the NABA dropped in, we heard something from Joe Glazer called...
Yeah.
What was the name of the song we heard?
Don't Wake the President Up.
Don't Wake the President Up. That was very nice.
That's off his recent album.
We somehow got four albums by this guy in one day. How did that happen?
Well, I'll tell you how that happened.
Okay.
Because I arranged for it.
Ah.
Yeah.
But, of course, these albums weren't all arranged. They weren't all released on the same day.
No. Some of them are several years old.
But what about this one?
This one's the new one.
Okay.
Yeah. It's topical. It talks about that fellow that's living in the White House right now. What's his name? Reagan or something like that?
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
His fans call him the political minstrel and labor's troubadour. Republicans have other names for him.
They're not talking about Reagan. They're talking about Joe Glazer.
Joe Glazer has sung at meetings and rallies for Harry Truman, Adlai Stevenson, John F. Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, Hubert Humphrey, Jimmy Carter, and the legendary Joe Smith. Has he ever sung for Republican rallies? No, Joe Glazer says, because my guitar would immediately go out of tune. In 1980, he sang at the White House for President and Mrs. Carter. He looks forward to being invited back after the 1984 elections. That's interesting. That's very interesting.
A couple of weeks ago, while I was sick, you know, all I could do was just watch TV. And one of the things I watched was a report on President Reagan's midterm thing. On NBC, it was one of their special reports, and there were actually some clips of Joe Glazer playing at a Democratic rally.
Really?
Right after the election or something like that, yeah.
That's interesting. There are some unsolicited testimonials on this.
They're record. Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, Jerry Falwell. God does not listen to this kind of music. David Stockman, the truly needy can't afford this record, for which they should be truly grateful. President Reagan, how can they say that about a sweet fellow like me? Spirit of Harry Truman, give him hell, Joe. Spirit of John F. Kennedy, ask not what your country can do for you. Dash out and buy Joe Glazer's record. And the spirit of Hubert Humphrey, it's about time someone socked it to this crowd. Yeah.
Yeah,
they have all these headlines on the back page. Reagan vetoes housing stimulus bill, 250,000 homes, 500,000 construction jobs lost. Duck and run politics. Reagan told of battle 6 hours afterwards. Interesting things. Jobless rate exceeds 10% in 18 states. It exceeded 10% in the whole
country
now.
Yeah.
That was pretty old. Good record. And we're going to hear a song about one of my favorite people. Good old...
Jimmy Watt.
James Watt, yeah. Now, before we do, though, I'd like to read something from an article that appeared in today's Newsday about this... the latest controversy that James Watt has gotten himself embroiled in. Now, you may have thought the controversy was what he said about Indians, okay? Well, it's not. He said this thing about Indians earlier in the week. What was it? If you want an example of the failures of socialism, don't go to Russia. Come to America and see the Indian reservations. And, of course, several tribal leaders called for his resignation, and John Thomas, chairman of the Kickapoo tribe in Kansas, said yesterday, Watt's statements are the greatest threat to Indian sovereignty and their God-given culture since smallpox. Yeah.
Them's fighting words.
That's Kickapoo talk.
Yeah.
But anyway, he did anger those Indians earlier this week by accusing them of terrible socialism. Now he has accused environmentalists of promoting the kind of government that could evolve into Nazism.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. In the January 24th issue of Business Week, Watt is quoted as saying that environmentalists use their issues as a tool to achieve a greater objective, which is centralized planning and control of the society. Quoting here, look what happened to Germany in the 1930s. The dignity of man was subordinated to the powers of Nazism. The dignity of man was subordinated in Russia. The magazine quoted Watt as saying, those are the forces that this thing can evolve into. Now, a pretty good quote here from former Senator Gaylord Nelson, Democrat of Wisconsin. He says, the secretary has gone bonkers. it's time the white coat people took him away. And I might add that Gaylord Nelson is also chairman of the Wilderness Society. And then Michael McCloskey, executive director of the Sierra Club, said only James Watt could fail to see the difference between Hermann Göring and John Muir, I believe I pronounced that right, a 19th century naturalist and founder of the Sierra Club. Oh, he's a lot of fun. He really is.
Yeah.
But we have a song here called
Gentleman Jimmy Watt.
Gentleman Jimmy Watt. So let's, without any further ado.
By Joe Glazer.
Yeah. On Joey the voice Bean, of Jelly Bean Blues.
On the voice of
L.I.
Cowboy came down the mountainside wearing a coat made of grizzly hide. His hips were narrow, but his grin was wide. Gentleman Jimmy Watt drove a station wagon, sure looked good. Its sides were hand-carved sequoia wood with a snuff-balled eagle mounted on the hood. Gentleman Jimmy Watt. Now the Double R Ranch was hiring hands to fight for the right to use public lands, and they hired his ramrod to lead their band. Gentleman Jimmy Watt. Now Watt believed that all creation was meant for commercial exploitation. Hated the thought of conservation. Did Gentleman Jimmy Watt? So he told all his big money friends, "Now gather around, you fat cats. Listen to me. Now you can drill for oil just off the beach, or you'll disturb some hammerhead sharks. Start strip mining wherever you want, build subdivisions in the national parks. Dam up the rivers, drain the swamps, chop down the redwoods, chop down spruce. Put whooping cranes on their hunting list, tear up the nest of the Canada goose. Eat turtles and antelopes and other wild game. The snow egret has a very nice taste. Build a shopping mall in Yosemite Park, flood the Mississippi with industrial waste. Run an eight-lane highway up Mount Rainier. Convert Monticello to a neighborhood tavern. Start a rock quarry in the petrified forest. Make a bomb shelter out of Carlsbad Cavern. Harpoon the whales off the California coast. Dump garbage into San Francisco Bay. Use the Grand Canyon for a big landfill. Cut off the funding of the EPA. Watt was running a bluff, trying to convince folks he was tough, but the Double R folks believe all that stuff from Gentleman Jimmy Watt. So let me tell you folks, you better get wise or you'll sell the whole country to the big money guys. Do it in the name of free enterprise. Gentleman Jimmy Watt. 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 Gentleman Jimmy Watt.
Run, 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 they do run, run. Somebody told me that his name was Bill. They do run, 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 they do run, run. Yeah, my heart was still. Yeah, his name was Bill. Yeah, man, he walked me home. They do run, 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 they do run, run. They do run, run. Yeah, he looks so fine.
Yeah. Laverne and Shirley here on 90.1 FM.
And I are all in love with you. We all think you're wonderful, we do. A zoopy doo 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 doo. Me, myself, and I have just one point of view. We're convinced there's no one else like you. Well, not exactly. Now it can't be denied, dear, that you brought the sun to us, and we'd be oh so satisfied, dear, if you just belong to one of us. Oh, and if you can't decide, three hearts will break in two. For me, myself, and I are all in love with you.
Yeah.
The Shags.
Yeah.
On the Voice.
Of Long Island.
It's from a new album. Just recently released on Rounder and Red Rooster Records called The Shags. Shags' Own Thing. And that was the dub version, the instrumental version of Shags' Own Thing.
I mean, there are two versions on that album?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a vocal version on the other flip side.
How about that?
Yeah. And we heard all sorts of neat things. We heard something from the Heptones, their album On the Run. Something from there. And we heard something from Guy Van Duzer and Billy Novick.
Is that a fact?
That's a fact. And a couple other things there.
You heard Laverne and Shirley?
Ah, yes. Yeah, but I mentioned that before.
Yes, you did.
So you got a good newscast all compiled?
Yeah, the news is coming up at 1:55, and it's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a good one.
All kinds of news about the Shoreham evacuation hearings in Riverhead tonight.
Uh-huh.
And this morning.
And
yesterday morning, actually.
And an updated weather forecast featuring a winter storm watch, in effect.
Okay, now, wait a minute. I was very disappointed last weekend. We were supposed to get about a foot of snow, and we got 1 inch instead. Now, you know, what are we paying these guys for anyway? Because weather forecasts
don't
come
true. I was watching the Channel 5 weather,
yeah.
And she said 6 feet.
She did?
Yeah.
And she's still working.
And she meant 6 inches, but she said 6 feet.
But either way, she was wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
We only got one. We really got chipped on this one.
Unless you were listening in northeastern Connecticut, it would have been a little bit more accurate.
That's true.
Yeah.
But the problem is, too many of you people out there don't want to have any snow on the ground. You say
just like me.
Yeah, you say, you know,
that's me.
I hope we just get an inch of snow, and your hopes come true. Well, there are some of us out here who want
to
see a lot of snow, you know?
I figure if it has to snow, I might as well have a foot.
Yeah, right, a foot, 2 feet. Why stop there?
And you want to come over and shovel my driveway?
No. But I like to relish the thought that you're in your house and you can't get out.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Especially with no food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No oil in the tank.
Nothing. Just survive.
The electricity has been cut off because you haven't paid your bill. And the phone's been cut off.
Uh-oh.
Because the people you call don't pay their bills.
Now you're going too far. You know, I heard of a case. Someone I know told me about this. This person. This happened on a college. It could only happen on a college.
Mm-hmm.
But this person had not paid his phone bill, and he was making all these phone calls to a foreign country, whose name I will not reveal.
The country you won't reveal?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I won't incriminate a whole nation. He was making all these calls, and he never paid his phone bill, so they turned off his phone.
Mm-hmm.
So he went over to this person I know. He went over to his room to make the calls, and the phone company saw the same numbers to this foreign country showing up on the other person's bill, and so they shut his phone off so that this other person couldn't make use of his phone. Now the person I know had paid his phone bill.
On time,
yet his phone was shut off. Only because he was letting the other person use it. It was the most amazing case of, I don't know what, but it was very illegal, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd pass it along in passing.
That's very interesting. Well, we will have the news coming up momentarily.
Our telephone number.
Is not important.
No.
But it is in the phone book, in case you want to know.
I love sounds like that.
Proud of yourself? Really?
I can do that again, too. We're the only station in the nation that does this. And this. Same time. Anyway, our telephone number is 246-7901.
Yes,
area code 516, if you
care. It's not important. You'll only get an answering machine if you call.
Yeah. We're running out of things to say, so I think we should turn the music up and wait for news time to come.
This is Long Island's non-commercial alternative.
It's 1:54, and that means it's time for the 1:55 news. Well, more than 800 people turned out for a public hearing in Riverhead, Long Island, of course, last night to urge the Suffolk County Legislature to stop the Shoreham Nuclear Power Plant from opening. There was almost unanimous criticism of the Long Island Lighting Company, which owns the plant, and a proposed evacuation plan for the 20-mile area surrounding the facility. Last night's session was the fourth and final public hearing on Suffolk County's proposed radiological emergency response plan. The plan outlines how the county would respond to an accident at the Shoreham nuclear plant and how it would evacuate the 20-mile area around the plant if the accident was serious enough. As in previous hearings, most of the speakers said there is no possible way to evacuate the people living within 20 miles of the Shoreham reactor. They said a report of an accident and the sounding of emergency sirens would create widespread panic and a massive traffic jam on the Long Island Expressway and other major roadways. Several speakers said they are panicked by the thought of the plant opening early next year, and others called for public demonstrations outside of Shoreham's gate.
Suffolk legislator Rose Caracappa of Selden
said she wanted to hold additional hearings near the Three Mile Island nuclear power plant in Pennsylvania. She said the hearings would learn how residents near Three Mile Island responded to evacuation orders during the 1979 accident there. Earlier yesterday, the town supervisors of Southold, Shelter Island, and Southampton told the legislators they do not believe a proposed county evacuation plan will work. State Assemblyman John Behan of Montauk said outside the hearing last night that he will ask Governor Mario Cuomo to help keep Shoreham from opening. The plan proposed by consultants hired by Suffolk County calls for a 20-mile evacuation zone around the Shoreham plant. It says residents of eastern Long Island would be told to shelter themselves in homes and buildings because they could not evacuate west towards the nuclear plant. Other residents in the 20-mile zone would head west toward Nassau County. The plan proposes various zones, and depending on which way the wind was blowing, the zones would be evacuated. The Suffolk legislator has until February 23rd to decide whether any evacuation plan is workable. On that date, the state has said it will adopt the plan developed by consultants for the Log Island Lighting Company.
Uh-huh. One of the speakers at last night's hearing, Kevin Moore.
That's what it said. It really
Log
said,
Island?
It said, look,
let me see this. It does say Log Island. Okay. Thank you, Mike. One of the speakers at last night's hearing, Kevin Moore, an elementary school teacher from Selden, said if there was...
I know him.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, that's really nice to hear.
Do you know who he is?
What?
No.
Who?
I'll talk to you later about
that. Yeah, why don't you do that? Start from the top. One of the speakers at last night's hearing, Kevin Moore, an elementary school teacher from Selden, said if there was an accident, many children are going to be stuck at school. He noted the county survey that found 80% of the school bus drivers would not stay on the job during a nuclear accident. John Harper of Yaphank said, you know him too?
No.
Okay. He said to live under siege is not how we should be forced to live. He added if there is an accident, Long Island would be Glow Island. That's clever, John. And we'll all be glowing, too. Sharon Adams, who lives in Hampton Bays and teaches in the Mauritius School District, said, "We do not feel Loco will tell us the truth if there is a mishap at the plant." One of the few speakers to speak in favor of the Shoreham plant was Joseph Caputo, Suffolk County's controller, who lives in Shoreham. He said he is happy Loco is there and that he looks forward to the day Shoreham opens. Caputo added if there was a need for an evacuation, a marine fleet could help.
A Soviet report to the Untied Nations says the dying Soviet satellite will re-enter the Earth's atmosphere between 6 p.m. Eastern Sunday and 1 a.m. Monday, and it predicts fragments will most likely fall over the Arabian Sea. U.S. experts say it's too early to make such a precise prediction. Pentagon tracking experts say, in their opinion, the 8,000-pound satellite will re-enter the atmosphere between 6:45 a.m. Sunday and 8:17 a.m. Monday. They believe Sunday is the likeliest time for the re-entry. A Pentagon spokesman says there is a 70% chance that the Cosmos 1402 satellite will come down over an ocean, a 15% chance over the Soviet Union, a 3% chance over Canada, and a 2% chance over the United States.
What about Albania?
It doesn't say. The nuclear-powered satellite could fall anywhere in the world, including from the extreme north of Canada to northern Antarctica in the Western Hemisphere. The Defense Department is responsible for tracking the falling satellite through the North American Air Defense Command in Colorado Springs. He made a face.
The sound of Mike Duras laughing.
It's great to be well again. In Colorado Springs, Colorado, the Pentagon says the Soviet claim that the satellite's nuclear core, containing more than 100 pounds of uranium, was ejected by remote control is possibly true. U.S. experts say the smaller reactor unit is in a higher orbit. But even so, experts say the satellite itself would still be radioactively hot.
Abortion opponents plan a protest march in Washington Saturday. Don't tickle me on the air, please. Not nice.
Abortion opponents plan a protest march in Washington Saturday to mark the 10th anniversary of the Supreme Court's decision legalizing abortion. Pro-choice groups plan gatherings celebrating the decision. And the FAA says flight restrictions imposed at six major airports following the air traffic controllers strike in 1981 will be relaxed. During the next 6 months, special controls will remain in effect a while longer at 14 other airports.
Authorities searching for the killers of Teamster associate Alan Dorfman say they have little hope of solving the case. Dorfman was killed Thursday in a Chicago suburb in what police describe as a gangland slaying. The FBI says it knows nothing of a reported plot to kill witnesses and prosecutors active in the case against former CIA agent Edwin Will. This is the first time I've ever seen him put a bag over his head. Right, well, I'm reading the news. Edwin Wilson, CBS News says federal officials are charging that Wilson, who has been convicted of shipping arms to Libya, tried last week to arrange the killing. Your turn.
Thank you. In sports, the Philadelphia 76ers continued their assault on the NBA Friday night with their 14th straight win. Seattle was the latest victim, dropping a 130-117 decision. And your mic is working. However, the Rockets dropped the games to the Kings 115-108 in an unrelated story. In other NBA action, New Jersey held Cleveland to just one field goal in the final 3 minutes of a 105-99 victory. Boston beat Chicago 117-106. Indiana trimmed Phoenix 118-117. Milwaukee beat Washington twice 111-104. On NHL ice, a power play goal by Anton Stastny in the final period gave Quebec a 5-4 win over Washington, and Winnipeg tallied three goals in the second period to beat the New York Rangers 4-1 in a game that was added to the standings of last year. WCT has filed a lawsuit against the Men's International Professional Tennis Council, charging the council with conspiring to monopolize the game. The complaint filed in federal court in Nueva York also claims the International Tennis Federation and the Association of Tennis Professionals as defendants. Gene Meyer captured a first-round match at a pro tennis event in Cincinnati with a 6-1, 7-6 decision over Jimmy Arias. Billie Jean King down Tracy Austin for 6-6-2-6-love in women's action.
Mr. Weatherman, what do you say? Will it be nice? Or will it be stormy? Today.
It certainly will. A winter storm watch is in effect for Saturday and Saturday night. Fair overnight with lows in the teens to mid-20s. Saturday, cloudy with a 50% chance of light snow or freezing rain. Highs in the 30s. Saturday night, snow and freezing rain continuing. Possibly mixing with or changing to rain. Lows in the upper 20s to lows 30s. Winds northeast overnight at 10 mph or less. The outlook for Sunday, rain. Possibly mixing with snow and freezing rain in the northern suburbs. Highs in the mid-30s to low 40s. There are no advisories or warnings for Long Island waters at this time.
Oh, good golly, it's time to leave again.
Bye.
We'll be back next week for the Voice of Long Island. Mike Uhus over there, Eric Corley over here. Good night.
Out of bed, but I say out of my head by 10:30. Out with mates and dates and friends. That's what I do at weekends. I can't talk and I can't walk, but I know where I'm going to go. on a chair, up to the edge of the dance floor. Dancers bouncing through the night, trying to stop or start a fight. I sit and watch the flashing lights, moving legs in footless tights. I go out on Friday night and I go on Saturday night. I go out on Friday night and I go on Saturday night. I like to venture into town. I like to get a few drinks down. The floor gets packed, the bar gets full. I don't like life when things get dull. The hen party. I've saved the night, free themselves from drunken stacks, having fun and dancing in a circle round the leather bags. I go out on Friday night and I come home on Saturday.
WUSB, Stony Brook.
This is Long Island's non-commercial alternative at 90.1 FM in stereo, WUSB, Stony Brook.
Insights, the daily feature of the station. I'm Steve Schick. Many of our nation's leading economists, like Lester Thoreau and Felix Rohatyn, are calling for national planning by industrial sectors, steel, auto, high technology, services, and so forth. While agreeing with this long-neglected need, other economists, like Barry Bluestone of Boston College, are calling for doing this in an unprecedented way, planning democratically determined at the local level.
My problem with people like Rohatyn and Thoreau and Reich is that they fail to recognize that, first of all, we have a commitment to a democratic society, that those plans can't all be made at the top and then have them flow down to the local community and to workers and people at the community level. But in fact, those plans, if they are to be democratic, must begin at the local level.
This local connection, Bluestone says, is essential if effective national planning is to be achieved.
We must have as much input as we possibly can from workers and from community citizens in the development of those programs. That's why I favor having a decentralized industrial plan, realizing full well that we also need to have what the French call indicative planning at the national level to coordinate those local plans. Not every community is going to be able to develop high tech. Not every community is going to be able to develop cogeneration equipment or kidney dialysis machines. But that's where those plans should begin. The assessment studies would be a very good place to begin such a local decentralized industrial policy.
Economist Barry Bluestone of Boston College. Insights is a same media production. I'm Steve Schick, and this is the Longhorn Radio Network.